every night I've hated for the song service to end. And maybe you have too. Good to have this good number present again. Beginning of the week, we were praying for Doug to get well, and he made it. Then Debbie got sick. But we haven't mentioned her so much, but she's been fighting the cold as well. But she's been here. She's tougher than, But we're glad to have you here. Good to have visitors again from other places in the area. James Fox and Loretta. You know, I wondered when I was younger, older preachers would get up, and of which I am now among that number. They'd get up and they'd reminisce for 10 or 15 minutes, and I remember saying, come on, let's get into the lesson. Now I know why they did that. James and I both had a lot more hair, and it was a whole lot darker than it is now. When we met 50-some years ago, we were boys. Thought we were all grown up, I guess. Long before I started preaching, in my early 20s. And I remember some of the passages that he kept quoting over and over and over to burn it into our hearts. One of those was 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. We didn't have this good tool overhead, the PowerPoint. So he'd write it on the board, underline it, to be ready always to give an answer. So when I started studying to do that, a lot of that was your fault, James. The precious, sweet memories of those wonderful years that we had. Few though they be. And others of you, well, we could go on and on, but you didn't come to hear me reminisce. Begin as we always do with the passage of Scripture, and when you're reading the Word of God, that's the best part of any lesson, isn't it? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That's a good sermon right there, isn't it? That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the manner of life of the wives. While they behold your chaste, your pure conversation, your pure manner of life, coupled with fear. Verse 3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But in contrast to that, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. These things are corruptible. The clothes you have on, the shoes you're wearing, they are corruptible, aren't they? But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Sometimes we begin to, how much did that cost? Whoa, that must have cost a lot of money. And probably did. But what is the great price in the sight of God? This meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. He said, don't let it be your outward appearance. What's going to happen to that outward appearance, folks? Most young people today fall in lust with one another, don't they? That's the reason there are so many divorces. They learn what they think love is from television and movies and books, but not from the book. They don't know what to look for. Parents and grandparents, we need to be teaching our young children, our babies, yea, from the beginning, what to look for in a husband and in a wife. Sometimes we spend more time teaching them how to drive a car, how to play basketball, how to play baseball, how to play softball, but not how to live as a Christian. The things that are of great price in the sight of God. We've got to put this into their hearts. Again, what does Psalm 119, verse 11 say? Thy word have I put in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Therefore, we need to continue doing the teaching that needs to be done, that must be done. In which of these categories are you? The outward adorner? I came and I got me a new suit, I got me a new tie, I got me a new shirt, I got me a new purse. Not me particularly. Though guys are doing that, aren't they? Anyway, the outward adorner or the inward adorner? Which is in the sight of God of great price? Which one? Are you adorning the inside or the outside? And this not just women, guys. We can also dress immodestly. I see some Christian men out mowing the yard. Really? Had a young fellow in West Virginia who obeyed the gospel. One of his neighbors, he was just a young Christian. He'd just been a Christian a few weeks. And he was out mowing his yard in shorts. And one of the neighbors came by and he said, I didn't think the Church of Christ allowed that type of attire. You think people are not watching you? Think again. They're watching you. They're watching me. All of us, as we shall see later. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see which one you are, does it? Judy and I were talking this afternoon. And Judy complimented the women here for your modest apparel. Thank you. That is such a wonderful thing to see. So tonight we're talking about dressing the inner man. You want to look good in the sight of God? You dress that inner man. When you dress the inner man, the outer man will follow. That's the way that works. Does the world appeal to the flesh? Shake your head this way. Everywhere you look, yes, it does. Television commercials, I don't care what you are advertising, they'll work in sex somehow, won't they? Usually by the person that's doing the advertising. All of those. Movies. Rated R. That seems to get everybody's attention. That's why they make those kinds of movies, because most people want to see them. Is that what we're looking at? Oh, I hear people say, oh, I just got to see that one. I'm telling you, trash in, trash out. We have to be careful. We're tolerating things that we wouldn't have tolerated years ago. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. What did this man know? Where did he get his knowledge? Solomon. What did he say, 4:23? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Is Life magazine still going? I'm not sure. When I was a boy, it's pretty popular. Whatever they put in that issue is what came out in that issue, wasn't it? For out of it are the issues of life. Trash in, trash out. We have to be careful. Again, later he says in 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You need to underline that so. That's exactly how you are, what you think about during the day, where you allow your mind to go. I was riding with a member of the church, an elder of the church one time, and he was looking at some ladies who were scantily attired, and he said, there's nothing wrong in looking. You want to ask David about that and Bathsheba? What'd that do for him? I was in my early 20s when I heard him say that. I still remembered. I didn't believe it then. What's in your heart? I think the commercial says, what's in your wallet? You better be more concerned about what's in your heart. One of the members of the church in Greencastle, Indiana, his little bitty boy, probably about 6 or 7 years old, we were watching television one New Year's Eve. And a commercial came on, and that little boy grabbed a pillow off of the couch, went up to the TV, and covered it. You think I'll forget that? That boy had been taught, hadn't he? His little eye shouldn't be seeing that. He put the cushion against the TV and turned his back. Somebody doing some teaching. His daddy's an elder now. That's no surprise, is it? What's in your heart? Magazine covers. What do they put on the front? Do these advertisers know what they're doing? Mm-hmm. They sure do. Not only with pictures, but with titles. Get you to read it and say, what's that? What do they call it, a rag? Inquiring people want to know. Sold millions because they were blinded by the devil. Billboard signs. In West Virginia, there was a huge billboard. It looked like it was about 30 feet wide, and they had 7 or 9 girls before prom, all of them dressed in their long prom dresses. I said they were long, but another thing is they were low. Low cut. Oh, but my dress come. You want a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy dancing with your daughter? Oh, I've just got to go to the prom. I'll just die if I don't go. I'm living proof that you won't die if you don't go. You will survive. I won't have my friends. Well, what kind of friends are they? You name it. Whatever they're advertising, you just watch, but don't. They know how to get your attention. They know the colors to put on the magazines. But I want to tell you one thing, and we've talked about this a lot this week. Our fight with the denominations, and it's all not about that. Because if our lives are not pure, they're not going to listen to us. You're not going to have a Bible study, have somebody come over with you with a cigarette in one hand and a can of beer in the other, are you? One fellow said, well, when I'm mowing the yard, I just get so hot, I just have to have a cold one. Really? What kind of an influence is that? How are we doing? Or are we even thinking about that? We must keep ourselves unspotted from the world. How do we know that? Speaking of the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Did you ever look down on your shirt? Oh. Usually we go to the spaghetti house or something and they can give me a bib to cover everything, but I'll find a way to get some on there. One little bitty spot. What ruined the whole day. Are we thinking that way about the church? Not having spot or wrinkle? Judy says, take that shirt off. I said, why? It's got a wrinkle. And that's how we, as members of the church, am I a spot? Am I a wrinkle in the church? Or any such thing? But that it should be holy and without blemish. Listen to James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I'll tell you how to keep yourself unspotted from the world is when you're doing what he said earlier, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You will be too busy taking care of others and seeing their needs and their wants. And you'll see people who are really in need. And you won't have a pity party for yourself. You won't have time. Because you're going to be going about doing good. That's how you keep yourself pure, 1 Timothy 5:22. What possible influence can I have over the world when my friends see this in me? Boy, at the drop of a hat. Boom! You don't cross him. You don't cross her. Or if they hear me using vulgar language. This OMG. I hear Christians, I see Christians on Facebook, OMG! Because he's got the letters, I'm not swearing. What's it stand for, folks? Stay away from it. If they know I watch sinful things on television, good influence? Mm-hmm. If I'm filled with envy and jealousy, I want what they have. If I'm a gossip and a liar and do all sorts of things that cause a bad influence to come upon the church, if I disobey my parents, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's not a suggestion. If I steal. One lady said, my son got caught stealing pencils at school. She said, I don't know why he did that. I bring plenty home from work. Mm-hmm. Monkey see. If I dress immodestly, male or female, you'd think we're running out of cloth. See, girls wearing a coat so when they sit down, they can take it off and cover their naked legs. Walking across the parking lot to come in to worship God, their dresses are up here. And then when they sit down and cross their legs, and somebody has to serve the table, the Lord's Supper. Sit right by their mother and their father. Dad, how do you allow your daughter to do that? Well, that's the fashion of the world, I might add. Are you the salt of the earth? Shake your head this way. You remember the body of Christ? You are. You know how I know that? Jesus tells me so. The Bible tells me so. You are the salt of the earth. What if you don't live like you should? But if the salt, that is you, you are the salt. But if the salt have lost his savor or your ability to do good, wherewith shall it, the earth, that is, be salted? The salt is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Do you want to be cast out? What did Moses say in Deuteronomy 18? God is going to send a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear. And if you don't hear him, you will be cut off. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Is that over anybody's head? Are you the light of the world? Yes, you are. You ought to be. You are the light. Well, that sounds familiar. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and what? We've been singing that, haven't we, Jane? Since we were little kids. Hide it under a bushel. What do we shout? No! Then how do we live? We put it on a candlestick and it giveth light unto all the house. We need to be bright candles in our area wherever we live. With our neighbors, doing good to them. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So, he says, verse 16, he didn't say just let your light shine, did he? Your light is shining 24/7. For good or for evil. That's why he added this little adverb. Let your light so shine. Why? That they before men, that they may see your good works. I think we explained that 2 years ago when we were here. That word good means beautiful. Doesn't it? It means beautiful. That they may see your beautiful works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If they don't see our good works, they're not going to want to be a part of something like that, are they? Are we a Demas? What did Paul say about him in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10? Hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God and they died the same day, didn't they? Or a Judas who betrayed Christ. Or are we a Dorcas? When she died, what did the women do? They showed Peter the things that she had made for them while she was with them. Priscilla and Aquila, friends of Paul, great teachers, taught Apollos, Barnabas. Well, we could talk about all these three. Powerful sermons in them. What Peter say, 1 Peter 2 and verse 12? Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, just like Jesus said about the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your, oh, there's that word good again, your beautiful works which they observe and they will observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When it comes their time to be taught, they hear the word, they're going to say those people are great people. They're good people. They're honest people. He loves his wife and his wife loves him. Their children love them. And they've done good all around the community. That's what people need to see in us, every one of us. Yes, we've all sinned. And when we sin, we do not glorify God, do we? We need to be doing the best that we can to not be a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish or any such thing. What are people observing in you? Peter says here, Jesus said in Matthew 5, which they observe. And that word observe means like looking through a microscopic lens. Sometimes they look to find a fault. They go on a witch hunt. You heard that term? And they are watching. Yes, they are. I form opinions about parents by watching their children. Sure do. How they dress. How they interact with the elderly. Taught the high school class at home. And I reminded the children every class, before you leave the building, speak to somebody older than you. I'm not talking about somebody a year or two older. I said, you find a way to go talk to somebody. A few of them started that habit and didn't quit. And they're so glad because they've made friends. They've made friends. Watch how they worship, their body language. We've got some teenagers that must have back trouble because they sit on the front row and they're like this. There's a study of body language going on. I told them, when they were all sitting up front before the services started, I said, Velcro your back to the pew. I think it went over their head. Maybe I'll have to get more plain. Maybe we need a seatbelt that buckles. Look, we've got an 87-year-old couple sitting tall and straight. Yes. And their Bible knowledge. Oh, they're too young. No, they're not too young. No, you need to be teaching your children. They will not always be in your home. And you know, people say, a young fellow comes up and says, yes, sir. And people say, oh, don't call me, sir. Don't you dare say that. Or yes, ma'am. Oh, don't call me, ma'am. They've been taught right. And that's what I tell them. People at 73 years old, people tell me, don't call me, sir. I said, my folks taught me better. What's wrong with those words? Instead of, huh? Yeah? Yes, sir? No, sir? I learned a long time ago, you don't talk to your mother that way. In an unkind or cruel way. My mother called me, I went to her. Okay? But I'm watching this show. That did not matter. Think people aren't watching you? Think again. We must keep busy doing good. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. I need to study. Study more. Oh, people tell me, Brother Hafley, I know I don't study like I ought to, so that makes it okay. See, I know I don't study like I ought to, so God, you know I don't study like I ought to, so that makes... Really? Really? Teaching the lost? Uh-oh, well, we may want to skip this one. How are we doing, folks? Do we pray to God to help me find someone? How are we doing? And you will find them. It may be the bank teller. It may be the clerk at Walmart or Kroger's or wherever. We mentioned this earlier. But we need to keep planting the seed and keep praying. Keep praying. We don't take advantage of our prayer as much as we should. Without ceasing. Every opportunity, he means. Attendance at every service. Every service. I ought to be so hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Blessed, Jesus said, happy are they. Blessed. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? We must keep doing good. What else can we do? Help others. Not only pray for, but help. Go. These announcements are not just made to get things. One of our members, I won't tell you where it is, but he always say, well, we got some announcements we got to get out of the way. Really? Get them over with. You put the sick in the bulletin and all these surgeries that are coming up. Do you think some people are not going to have some needs? Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Those weak spiritually, can you help them? You know, I still love getting cards. Sure do. Sure do. Been sick a few times up in Danville, and members send me a card. Sometimes I walk in and jokingly one of the members will say, oh, were you gone? Help the weak, spiritually weak. Ye which are spiritual, Paul says, restore such an one. Sometimes just put your arm around that person when you see they're not living. And you know, it's like an automobile. Before it quits, it starts missing, doesn't it? You get the point? And sometimes we think nobody cares. And you know what? They're right. Somebody else will take care of that. The weak physically. We've already talked about that in James 1:27. Doesn't say send it to an institution, an organization. You go. You visit. I can't visit for you, and you can't visit for me. Helping the poor. Dorcas was full of good works and alms deeds. What's the last three words? Which she did. She knew about the needs, and she did something about it. And I know a lot of you in this congregation are doing that very thing, aren't you? And you're not doing it so you can get patted on the back. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. Our young people need to see that being done and to go with you sometimes when you go visit and help others. Help enemies, Matthew 5 and verse 44. Ain't no way I'm going to help him. Do you know what he did to me? If you think I'm going to be good to him, all right, listen to this. Matthew 5:44. Jesus, the Son of God, said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Yes. Try that on for size and see how that works. It'll work a whole lot better for you, and you may make a friend out of that enemy. Well, why should I do that? Verse 45, the very next verse tells you. See that word that? That means it's going to give you the reason. You do this for your enemy in verse 44, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. What if you don't do these things? Then you are not sons of your Father, are you? It's not a smorgasbord. Oh, I can do this and I can do this. But this be good to your enemies, huh? For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, doesn't he? And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. All of the wickedness that's in this world today, God is still blessing us, isn't he? Yes, he is. Help my enemies. We preached Dot Stephen Sunday morning. When he was dying, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You think Paul ever forgot those words? He wrote about it. Lay not this sin to their... Can we pray for our enemies? Yes, you can. Do you pray for your enemies? That's up to you. You know. Jesus told us what to do. He wasn't one of those tell you what to do and then not do it himself. Everything he asked of us, he did himself. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Where was he when he said that, when he prayed that prayer? Whew, what a heart. He was a do as I say and do as I do man. That's what he left us. Romans 12 and verse 17. Recompense, repay to no man evil for evil. You know what's that? I'm going to get even with you. We don't get even. We go lower. We go lower. He did something to me, I'll get him back worse. That's what road rage is all about, folks. That's what going postal is all about. Words we never heard of years ago. Don't repay evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, not just those you like. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Says it in a different way. Why? Why don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath? Can you tell when you're angry? I never asked my mom or my dad when they came to me and I could see that they were angry. I never said, Mom, are you angry? I'm not the smartest, but I knew better than to ask that question. Give place unto wrath. Oh, you can play Superman, stop a speeding bullet or a freight train or whatever. But wrath will run you over. I've never done anything smart, anything intelligent when I've been angry. We say words we should not say. We do things we should not do. Why don't we take vengeance? Because he says in the next line, vengeance is mowed. Is that what he said? Huh? Mm-mm. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You get into the vengeance-seeking business, you will mess it up completely. Therefore, because of what he's just said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'll take care of it. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now you are talking. I've always wanted to dump a bucket full of hot coals on that guy. That's not what he's talking about. Let me interrupt this with a story I read about 60-some years ago in grade school. Baseball player by the name of Lou Gehrig, first baseman for the world champion New York Yankees. One day there was a close play at first base, and the fellow coming down the line spiked Mr. Gehrig. That was the third out. The guy was out. Lou went to the dugout. They took his shoe and sock off. It's filled with blood. Those spikes are sharp. They are steel. And he meant to do damage, and he did. It was the first baseman on the other team that did that. Well, as irony would have it, Lou Gehrig was to bat that inning. When he got up to bat, he hit a slow roller to the third baseman, and it was going to be a bang-bang play at first base. If I'm the first baseman, and I see this 225-pound, 6'2", all-muscle guy coming down the line as fast as he can go, do I know what's going to happen to me because of what I just did to him 5 minutes earlier? He's going to take me out. Bang, bang, play. Boom. Lou Gehrig didn't touch him. Stepped on the bag, went back to the dugout. After the game was over, here's the point. With all the baseball players, all the managers, and all of the media in the locker room in the Yankees, Lou was sitting at his locker. The double doors opened. You want to guess who was there in tears? The first baseman on the other team. Before all of those people came to Lou and apologized. Would he have done that if Lou had knocked him off of the base when he ran down there? Mm-mm. You want to heap coals of fire on your enemy? You do him good. You do her good. That's how that works. Lou hurt that fellow worse. He'd have felt better if Lou had bowled him over. 21, he says, be not overcome of evil. Why did he say that? Because you can be overcome of evil. But overcome evil with good. I don't know why that example stuck in my mind for all these years. Had a real impression upon me. And it should. We sing a song, I believe it's in this songbook, others. Do you ever come in and just read songs? You ought to do that sometime. Just read them softly to yourself. This one says, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Now listen to this. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. Wow. What a prayer. I'm so thankful God gave people the ability to fill our songbook and this overhead with the beautiful words, the touching words. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Let us be living for the good Lord that died for us. The way to heaven means a change in lifestyle, doesn't it? We must seek and set our affections on things above. Well, what's above? God is. God is there. The one that so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus is there. The angels told the apostles that the way you've seen Him go, you're going to see Him come. He went into heaven. Stephen saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God, 755. And on we could go. The Holy Spirit is there. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. They are all there. All the saved of the Old Testament, Revelation 7 and verse 9. And our reward is great. Matthew 5 and verse 12. Great is your reward in heaven. Oh, you might have received an A for the work you did on a test. Or you might have gotten a raise because of your hard work at work. Ah, oh, it was worth it. What about heaven? What's the song say? Heaven will surely be worth it all. Think about the poor rich man who lifted his eyes in torment, who fared sumptuously every day on this earth, but now the shoe was on the other foot, and his reward was eternal like ours, but his was an eternal pain. Did you ever think about hell being solitary confinement? Because he didn't talk about all the other people down here with me. Oh, don't put me in solitary. Here's some things that won't be in heaven. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wouldn't this world be something if there were no tears? Think about the tears that you yourself have cried. Some of them have been joy, tears of joy, but I guarantee you many of them have been tears of sorrow. No more tears. No more death. What did that Russian comedian say? What was his catchphrase? What a country. What a country. This country. What about heaven? No sorrow. No crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. None of this will be there. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual and immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Uh-oh, you were doing all right till you got to that liar thing. You ever told a lie? How you doing? Do you get used to telling lies? Cover up? Not good. They'll all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Sodom and Gomorrah, but it will not be a temporary death. It will be eternal. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, if ye then be risen with him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Well, you all have listened patiently. And we'll just put an end to it right now. But I think you've gotten the point. You want to live the kind of life that is priceless in the sight of God. The things in this world are worthless. But the things that we are shooting for in heaven are priceless. You'll never regret being a Christian and living before God as you should. If you need to repent of sin, I tell you what, you can do that right now. You can ask God any time, day or night. It doesn't have to be at a service. When I sin and I pray to God to forgive me, it's done. It's over. When I repent, truly repent. When I make this 180-degree turn, go back the other way. Yes, it is a challenge. Yes, the devil is going to make it hard on you. He makes sure of that. But you be more determined than he, because he's not going to give you a reward, eternal life. His reward is eternal death. A God that loves you this... You know, those 3,000 and on the day of Pentecost that said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do you think they were thinking that God would have them to do? We have to sacrifice one of our children? What did Peter say? What did the loving God command Peter to say? Repent and be baptized every... And I'm thinking, for what we did, I can be forgiven by repenting, asking God to forgive me, and be buried in baptism. That's all I have to do for forgiveness of that awful sin, murdering his son. What a God. What a God. If you're here in any way and need to respond to the invitation of the Lord, maybe to be baptized into Christ, to have those sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb that died for you, you can do it now, right now, while we stand, while we sing, Grant.